Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9 of this letter of Paul's to the church there at Ephesus. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. We'll leave it there for this week, just. But let's pray. Let's again ask God that he'd help us as we look at these verses together this morning. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we have such easy access to it. And we pray, Lord, as we look at this preserved letter of Paul's, that you will grant to us an understanding here at the beginning of a new year, Father, that you would stir us and excite us about the ministry that each of us has here in this local church. Lord, we look to you. We ask for your blessing. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, we're continuing our New Year series for 2020 in this third chapter of Ephesians. And we're looking at the sort of a general, broad theme of church, at who you are as believers in Christ, your worth, your duty, your purpose for being members here of Welbeck Road Evangelical Church. Last week we looked at verses 1 to 6. We saw there how the Apostle Paul viewed himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of or for the sake of others. We noted the need for each of us, looking at Paul's example there, the need for each of us to accept our place in life, to accept the place that God has placed us in here at Welbeck Road Evangelical Church. We're not here by accident, but God has brought us to this place for his purpose and for the sake of serving others here. And so each one of us wants to be looking for how we can best fulfill that. How can we best serve the Lord Jesus Christ and the others around us here? How can we do that to the best of our ability? We need to ask ourselves that question. How in this new year can I best honor Christ? How can I best serve others? And then we looked at why we are so fortunate to be living in these particular days. Paul said that only now had God's eternal plan been revealed to the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament, New Covenant era. That plan, as Paul describes in verse 5, was not made known in other generations. Or verse 9, that plan of God had been hidden for ages in God. But that plan was now revealed. And that revealed plan was that now, for those who have been saved from every nation under the sun, from every nation of the world, we are together, as Paul summarizes in verse 6, fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And we looked at that last week, how God, through his old covenant people of Israel, began this work of redemption, and then through them to all the nations of the world, he is extending this same promise of salvation and inclusion and an inheritance with him when Christ returns. What Old Testament Israel didn't know
is that now, regardless of the believer's background, whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, but now there is this absolute equality across the whole of the church. As I used last week, whether you're a Jew from Israel or a non-Jew from Iran, who is looking to bomb Israel today, not exactly, but that's what's always been their intention. Or you're a Jew from Bethlehem or a non-Jew from Biker. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all where you're from. But in Christ, we're all one. In Christ, we are His people. We are all equal heirs of what God has promised. As J.B. Phillips translates verse 6, it is simply this, he says, that the Gentiles are to be equal heirs with His chosen people, equal members and equal partners in God's promise given by Christ Jesus through the gospel. And that's why I said last week we ought to be excited about being part of this local church and involved in the local church ministry. Because that plan of God's now revealed to us, that plan is still being worked out today. It's still being fulfilled today through the local church. The local church, with all of its problems and all of its issues and all of that, regardless, the local church is still the means that God uses to achieve the end. This is where it's happening, here and elsewhere. So, if you haven't already done so, my invitation to you this morning is to get involved. Get involved in this local church, this exciting ministry here in Biker. If this local church, where remember God has specifically placed you for His purposes and for the sake of serving others, if this local church is the means of God that He is using to complete His plan, then what part are you in that? What part are you playing in God fulfilling His plan here in these days? That's our general theme for this New Year series, local church ministry. And when I say that, I'm not talking about ministry run by a few people. That's often the case in local church ministry, that the vast majority of the ministry that occurs in a local church is done by just a few of the church, a core group within the church. No, what I'm talking about by local church ministry is where every member is busy ministering. Every one of us who professes faith in Jesus Christ, and within the context of our church here, who are formal members of this church, we want to be busy ministering to one another and for the Lord. The specific theme for this morning's message of this series is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. If God has put you here to serve Him and others here, then what gifts has the Lord given you to do that? And to help us look at that important aspect of normal church ministry, we're using verses 7 to 9 of this passage of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things." We're going to look at how Paul received his gifting. Before we do that, though, let's just look at why he was given his gifting. Paul tells us here that he recognized he had been gifted to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's break that down a bit. Let's look at the word preach. The word preach here is, the Greek behind it is from the word where we get our word evangelical. We are an evangelical church. Why is that? It often stumps people who attend evangelical churches. What does that word mean? And you think, well, What does it mean, actually? It comes from the Greek word which means to bring good news. We bring good news, we announce, we proclaim glad tidings. That's what we're about here. We're not here just to have a holy huddle, but we're here to preach this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ. Hence we have all these various ministries, from toddlers all the way through to older folk. We want to tell them the good news that Paul here has been shown by the Holy Spirit. God had gifted Paul to do that. God had empowered him by the Holy Spirit to be a preacher of that gospel. And here he tells us, especially so to the Gentiles, not exclusively so to the Gentiles. Those of us who have been to our midweek study in Acts, we'll remember how when Paul went to a new place to preach this gospel, his normal practice was to first go to the synagogue. The local synagogue, because Christ had told him to go first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. But his calling here, his gifting, was particularly for non-Jews, like us, Gentiles. Now, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ? That word unsearchable, it suggests it's totally unknowable, doesn't it? You just can't fathom it. It's just... But if Paul didn't know what the riches of Christ were, what would we have to preach? It doesn't mean unknowable. Whatever these riches are, they're not unknowable. But there is a strong connection here between the riches of Christ and the gospel of Christ, the various aspects of God's grace to believers in Christ. What are those riches? Well, Peter O'Brien, who has a very helpful commentary on Ephesians, he puts it like this: the wealth of divine grace and glory, which Christ possesses in himself and which he lavishly gives to others. What that wealth looks like, we don't have much time to really explore, because as Paul describes in chapter 1, verse 3, he says that we have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And what that means, he goes on to elaborate on in chapters 1 and 2. You can read that in your own time. But basically, what we're talking about is the fullness of our salvation. What it means to be saved. Paul is talking about the riches of Jesus Christ. From God having chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's a richness. That's a wealth. That's like having a jewel in your pocket. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And all the way through our redemption, Christ having died for me, that's another wealth in my pocket. God having adopted me into his family, another big diamond, as it were. All of these wonderful aspects of our salvation right through to our eternal inheritance, which one day we'll receive when the Lord comes back again for us. The wealth of such lavish salvation, which we find through faith in Jesus Christ, it's unsearchable. It's like an endless mine of gold that the apostle would go into and dig out of, and as he would find something new, he would bring it out and present it to his listeners, showing them all that God had done for them, as we sang just now from Psalm 66. Paul wanted them to see how rich they were in Christ, that though Christ was rich, yet for their sake he became poor, so that they, by his poverty, might become rich. The riches we find in Christ are infinite. Infinite. We've already heard a few words from the front, like adoption, like redemption, but there are other big words like justification and regeneration and glorification and all of these words which are so easy to say, but you could spend an eternity unpacking. For us to mine the worth and the wealth of these unsearchable riches, that are in Jesus Christ. Paul was gifted to do that. God specifically gave him that task and enabled him to do it so that through his ministry, God would draw non-Jews to faith in Jesus Christ. That's why he had gifted him in that way. How had the Lord gifted Paul to do that? Well, let's look at that now. You see, when we think about Paul being called to be an apostle, I guess many of us will immediately go to the Damascus Road. In our mind, go to that scene recorded for us in Acts chapter 9 where Paul is going to Damascus to try and arrest Christians. But the Lord meets him on the way and the Lord saves him, the Lord converts him, and the Lord commissions him to go and tell this message of Jesus Christ. But if what Christ told Paul to do was like a job description, as it were, what we read here in Ephesians chapter 3 is the spiritual aspect behind that job description. The unseen enabling by Christ of Paul to fulfill the commission given to him. What do I mean by that? Well, let's go through it together. First of all, he says, of this gospel, I was made a minister. Now, let's have some interaction, because some of you are nodding off here. If you're a minister, raise your hand. Okay? Right. A few of you raised your hand. What is a minister? The Greek word behind this word minister is diakonos, what we get the word deacon for, or servant. A servant, okay? A servant. The NIV has it as servant. The ESV and New King James has minister. So yes, Paul was an apostle. He tells us that in chapter 1, verse 1. I am an apostle of Christ. He's a prisoner for Christ. But here, he is a minister or a servant of the gospel. If you're a minister, raise your hand, please. That's better. That's better. We're all ministers. We all have a ministry behind this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, God made me that. God made me a servant of that message. Now, if you can imagine, for example, how Paul on that Damascus road, people talk about conversion experiences. For some of them, they have a Damascus road experience. It's dramatic. It's like, whoa, incredible. For most people, their conversion is not all that exciting. It's just, I came to faith. I believed the message, and here I am today. I'm saved. Praise God. For Paul to have experienced such a dramatic conversion experience, to have heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, even seen the Lord Jesus, I'd imagine would have left this great impression upon him. Paul had this unique, this extraordinary experience, and yet even that was not grounds for him to presume that he would now become a minister of the gospel. God made him a minister of the gospel. And that's important for us to remember this morning. God had a plan for Paul, as he has for every one of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a job that the Lord wants us to do that only you can do for him. But he wants you to do it according to the plan he has for you in these days, in this place. Secondly, you see another spiritual aspect of Paul's calling in how God had made him a servant of the gospel. He says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace which was given me. Now, when we think of God's grace, we immediately think, don't we, of salvation. We think of the free gift of God to all who believe. How the Lord had graciously saved Paul from his sin. And when you think of Paul's past, it certainly was an act of grace, wasn't it? Here was Paul, a persecutor of the church, but even so, the Lord had graciously saved him. God had taken this man and made him a new creature. a new person with a new nature, with new desires and so forth. And that's what those of us who are Christians, we have this in common with Paul. Paul was an apostle, none of us are. But we were saved in the same way as Paul was, by the grace of God. Paul writes to these Ephesian believers in chapter 2, verse 8. He tells them, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one can boast. We have this in common with Paul straight away, that we have been born again. We have been converted by the grace of God. But this further gift of God's grace to Paul was that God had made Paul a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Specifically, a preacher of it. And that's what the gift was that Paul had been received. Now again, in principle, what the Lord did for Paul, the Lord has done for every believer. In principle. None of us are apostles. But every one of us has been as Paul was. We have been gifted to serve him in his church. So every believer in every congregation has a ministry. You are ministers. Every believer in every congregation has a servant of sorts, has a service rather of sorts. So every one of us are servants. God has appointed us to be servants in service to one another. For the building up of one another, for the encouragement of one another, for helping one another to persevere through difficult times. I mean, that children's story from Yvonne, the whole point of solitary confinement is to cut believers off from other believers so they don't encourage one another. They know believers need one another. We need one another. And God has put us here and gifted us specifically for that purpose of serving one another in this local church ministry. Paul was gifted by God's grace to do what God had appointed him to do. And the others there, the church of Ephesus, they also had been gifted in other ways. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 7. He says, to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So I say again, just to stress it, please, that every believer in every congregation has a ministry, has a service of sorts to which God has appointed you to fulfill. So what are the gifts, what are the ministries that God gives to his people? Well, you see lists of particular gifts, for example, in Romans 12. You see another list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes in verse 4 of that chapter, he says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then Paul, he will list some of the gifts that are given to the church. And I would say that those lists that Paul gives us are not exhaustive. They purely illustrate what Paul was wanting to get across, that there are varieties. There are all different kinds of ministries that God has enabled to happen in local church ministries. In verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us how such a variety of gifts are actually allocated throughout a local church. He writes, all these various varieties and so forth, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So again, it's God who does this. We might come to a local church with personality. And God can use personality. I think, you know, when the Lord appeared to Gideon and he was threshing his wheat in a wine press and he had a bit of an attitude, did Gideon, and I think God was using that in that spirit, go forth, he said. Some of us have unhelpful personalities, but others, God uses those personalities in his kingdom. Some of us have talents. We've got brilliant musicians here. Praise God for that. There are things that we can use that we have, whether you're a believer or not, you can use them somehow to the glory of God. But when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit gives you gifts, particular gifts, varieties of gifts. It's him who does it according to his own will. But I stress this because I'm really wanting to stress it. Each believer is gifted. Oh, I could never do that. Oh, I could never do that. You know, maybe you couldn't. Sure, there are some. I mean, I could never play the piano. I could try. I could go doot, 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 doot. You know, I could try, but I just can't. I would love to, but I couldn't. But God enables certain people to do specific things in his church for the benefit of the church, for the common good of all who are there. Friends, if you're a Christian, you're gifted. You're gifted. The Holy Spirit has gifted you for ministry. He has equipped you for some ministry, some service, primarily here at Welbeck Road, but maybe to be used through here into somewhere else, but primarily for here. He has gifted you and he'll enable you by his power, as he did with Paul, to use that gift, to work it out here for the benefit of others. And as your pastor, and I'm sure Jonathan would be with me in this, we really want you to explore that further. We really want you to delve into that more, for you to realize what it is God has given you and to use it here at Welbeck Road Church. I would love to see every professing believer here realize what God has called you to. I'd love you to realize the gifting and the ministry that God has specifically given you for this local church, to recognize it and to fulfill it. I would even put it to you, this is a pipe dream of every pastor. You know what a pipe dream is? It's something they sit late at, I don't do this myself because I don't smoke, but you know, it's they sit and dream of, wouldn't it be great if this happened? That every member of his congregation, every member of his congregation would be joyfully ministering and serving others with the gifts God has given them. I say again, not just some of the congregation doing what God has called them to, but every member, every professing believer doing as much as they're able to what God has called them to do here at Welbeck Road. I mean, just think of that for a moment. Just try and imagine of all the believers we have here. And friends, in some sense, we are a growing church with folk coming to us and joining to us here. They like our fellowship. They like the various ministries here. It's wonderful. But just think for a moment, if all the believers here, imagine an inventory of all the gifts that God has blessed us with then here. Some are obvious. Some are more apparent than others, but equally necessary are those gifts less apparent. Equally necessary are those gifts that nobody seems to know about. But they've been given, and God wants you to use them in the ministry of the church. Imagine, though, if all of that was happening in a local church. Imagine if all the gifts that God had specifically, purposefully given were all being worked out. We'd be like bees in a beehive. Every bee has a reason to be there. They have a purpose to be there, a specific job to do. Nobody just, well, I'm not going to work. I'm going to be in the beehive, but I'm not for working. Nobody does that in the beehive. They're all busy. That's the picture that God has included in his nature to show his church what he wants to achieve. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Wouldn't it be great for a local church to be functioning like that? Well, as we close then, can I ask you, do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what God has given you to do here? I think most people assume that spiritual gifts are given at conversion, that when you come to faith, the Spirit endows you with a gift which you will then come to realize and apply to your Christian life and experience. Some gifts, I think, can be asked for. Scripture does seem to suggest that we can ask for particular gifting. In 1 Corinthians 12 again, Paul at verse 31, he tells the church there that they are to earnestly desire the gifts that would be the most helpful in the church. And that would seem to suggest that if someone were to earnestly pray for God to allow him or her a particular gift that in their thinking would enable them to better serve others, then arguably, within the boundaries of God's will, but arguably, the Spirit would give that gift to that person. Why? For the common good of the whole church community. But most gifting seems to be at conversion. So how do we know then what our gifting is? And this is a big subject. I mean, people write massive books on this sort of stuff. And the conclusion is there is no specific way to do it. No definite way to find out exactly what it is that God has gifted us with. But I suggest three things. The first one is just to ask yourself the question, having come to faith in Jesus Christ, what am I burdened for? What has the Lord awakened within me? What has he laid on my heart a passion and a concern for? For example, am I particularly concerned for children? I really want to see children come to faith. Are you particularly concerned for older people? Do you feel burdened for them? Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. He's gifted you. He's prompted you to go and serve in that particular way. Maybe you're really concerned about trying to engage sort of cross-culturally, trying to break over the boundaries that typically sort of segregate communities. You want to get over those boundaries and bring together different communities to worship together. If that's your burden, maybe that is what the Holy Spirit has called you to do. Maybe you have a niggling desire to evangelize. Now, let me be careful here because there is no union within Welbeck Road Evangelical Church, you know. He's doing my job. I'm going on strike, therefore. You know, every one of us should be burdened for the lost. Every one of us should be able and willing to get the Hoover out and Hoover the carpet if you see crumbs on the carpet. You know what I mean? Well, I'm not gifted with the Hoover. Well, I better not do that. No, just do it. Just get involved. But of course, there will be some burdened, particularly burdened, to reach Biker. And maybe that's the Lord. He has laid it upon your heart and he has gifted you with this gifting to go and tell and so forth. Have you a unusual desire to pray, to write letters to people? Are you good at organizing things? Do you feel burdened to manage things, to sort things out, to make things run more efficiently within the church? There are lots of things. There's a whole variety, you see, of gifts and activities and services that God can lay on the hearts of individual. I want you to say, what's yours? What is it that God wants you to do here? Another way of testing to see what gift the Spirit has given you is to maybe just see if the hat fits. Just try it for a while. try it. I remember a guy who was asked to get involved with children's work, and I asked him to stop because it was obvious it just wasn't his calling. Now, obviously, there are times when we need people to pull up our sleeves and get stuck in because we're short of staff. We need to get involved. But certainly if you're up front and you're not called to work with children, then maybe that's not your calling, just, and that's fine. As we search out what God has called us to, we do need a sense of honesty about this. For people to honestly say, David, I'm not sure, David, if that is your calling. And then for David to humbly say, well, yeah, okay, fine. These are a two-way process here of understanding what God has called us to do. And then thirdly, of course, if it is the Holy Spirit who gives out the gifts, then surely we should ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? How have you gifted me to best serve the Lord here at Welbeck Road and serve the needs of others? Because if you're honest in that prayer, and he knows the level of your honesty, then he will answer it. He wants you to fulfill the ministry God has called you to here at Welbeck Road. Those are just three things to help you find out what gifts you have. But maybe the better question to ask is not what gifts have I got, but how can I in this new year best serve the Lord here? How can I do? What can I get involved in? What can I do here that will further God's work, God's glory here, and better the life of others here? What could I do? I'm going to be writing to the members of the church very shortly, inviting you to think through what you do here, encouraging you to review what you do here, and give you the chance to either step out or step into new areas that you think God is calling you into. Because I really want us to get this message of not just a few ministering in a local church. Every member of a local church ministry and serving God here to his glory. May God help us do that then, because it is to his glory. Amen. Let's just pray and commit this to him. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being included in the Church of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for these spiritual blessings we referred to earlier and how you have blessed us in Christ in such ways. The lavishness of your grace. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. And we pray, Lord, that we will continue to discover those unsearchable riches. Lord, as we grow older with you, that we will become more and more aware of the wealth of your grace towards us. But Father, we also admit how easy we find it to come and just spectate rather than participate here. We pray, Father, that you would speak to each one of us here. And Lord, help us to work this out in our own lives, in our own contexts. But Lord, lives and contexts which you know about already. Please help us. Again, we pray for more grace, Lord. We pray for humility. We pray, Lord, for enthusiasm. We pray, Lord, that we would catch the vision of what you are doing here and get involved. Lord, hear us, we pray. We thank you again for this day of opportunity. And we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will minister this message to each one of us. We pray in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.